Tonight's share is entitled Hashkacha Pratit, or Hashkacha Pratit, depending on how you speak. And by way of an introduction, a very, very gentle introduction to the share, I want you to take a look at source number one, because in some ways the share is going to be significantly different than other shiurim that I often give on this time slot. And that may help us explain, as somebody just mentioned to me a couple of minutes ago, I heard when you gave the shiur last year that you made girls cry. I don't know if any girl was crying, but I do know that one of very good students last year walked out in the middle of shiur. I thought she just wasn't feeling well. She walked out in the middle of shiur. She didn't come back. And she told me she couldn't stand staying in the shiur. It was just too hard for her. So, by way of an introduction, everyone can get up and leave now. No, we'll be passing out with the attendance sheet a whole box of tissues and source number one. Yishayahu HaNavi says, Ki lo machshavotai machshavoteichem v'lo darcheichem d'rachaynu Hashem. I don't think like you think. HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking. And my ways are not your ways. And your ways are not my ways. At the end of the day, we can't come along and declare we understand exactly how HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks. We understand exactly how he thinks. We understand exactly how he runs the world. We don't. Because lo machshavotai machshavoteichem v'lo darcheichem d'rachai. It's not possible. We are human beings, and he is divine. And there is no way that we can come along and say we fully understand exactly how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, even he who reached tremendous levels, there was a certain level that even he couldn't reach, because it would have been impossible. It was bust of his own. So what do we do and spend most of our time on? Most of the time, very much, certainly in halacha classes, and many of the shirei klali are halacha, but not all, we're trying to figure out what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. And when it comes to discussing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us, it wouldn't make sense to say, Ki lo machshavotai machshavoteichem, you guys will never figure it out. Don't even bother. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't run the world that way. He can't give us a Torah and telling us, this is how I want you to run your lives, but you'll never understand it. So, it is vast, it is immense, it is infinite, but nevertheless, there's a certain degree of understanding that we can reach, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to reach, to figure out what we're supposed to be doing. And if we come across differences of opinion, then they all be Eilu Veilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, but at the end of the day, either we're going to light our Chanukah Menorah 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and we have to know what to do. So we have to postulate. Sometimes we're not sure, and a different day off. And sometimes we're quite sure, and this is how we pass it. But sometimes there are row of opinions. Most folks can pass them this way. Some pass them this way. I say, L'charab, yes, k'shayla. And you say, but Rabbi, what should I do? And you get a stop. But when it comes to inyanim of hashkafa, it's not exactly the same thing. Now, it's not a free-for-all. As we'll see in the opening sources, not every opinion is valid. It's an inyan of hashkafa. There's certain things that are a given that we all believe in, and there's certain things that are a given that we don't believe in. But within the parameters of what is acceptable, there may be a variety of opinions. Not necessarily so different than you have a variety of opinions in halacha. But once there are a variety of opinions within the parameters, we don't paskin. So we're not going to paskin how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. There's certain beliefs, certain yisodot of amunah that we accept, but does he run the world exactly this way or exactly this way? So Rabbi, please paskin how HaKadosh Baruch Hu paskin. And therefore we're going to come across a variety of opinions, specifically tonight on Hashgacha Pratit, which I must admit, I was taken aback that some students found some of these opinions extremely troubling. I'm still not so sure why. I have an idea. But they found some of these opinions extremely troubling. You may not find these, I don't find any of these opinions extremely troubling. But some found them very troubling. To the extent that I heard afterwards that some of the girls were crying because such a thing. And one girl walked out because she couldn't handle it, that there were, no, she had such a clear idea of how Hashgacha Pratit works. It was so clear to her that to hear that to somebody who says differently, she couldn't handle it. She apologized to her. She said, I just couldn't say that. She didn't want to hear that. But as long as whatever ideas you have are within the given parameters, and they're fairly wide parameters, you don't have to pass it. There's no real things, there's no new things. If you want to come along after the shiur and say, I don't think that the Rambam, Sefer Chinuch makes more sense, the Rambam makes more sense, the Pritzadik makes more sense, this one makes more sense, that one makes more sense, I can't handle the other one. Okay. No one says you have to handle the other one. Can you continue with the assumption that Hashgacha Pratit works in the way that you always thought, as long as it's within the given parameters? The answer is yes, it can continue that way. There's nothing wrong. And somebody else, if Chavrusa wants to think differently, you can also. Because you don't possibly, once it's within the acceptable parameters. So I hope nobody walks out because they can't handle anything. I hope nobody breaks down in tears because you may find nothing surprising tonight. You may have either heard it all, you may have thought it all, I don't know. But that's just by the way of introduction to Hashgacha Pratit, and therefore we won't conclude, there's no conclusion at the end. The conclusion is that certain things are given, and the rest is a variety of opinions. Let's take a look now at source number 2. The Ramban will delineate the parameters for what we find acceptable and not. The basic parameters. Ramban in Shmot, at the end of Parashat Bo, in a very long and important Ramban, he says as follows. I'm going to tell you a basic rule and principle of many mitzvot. Enosh was the grandson of Adam Arishon. And Chazal tell us that from the time of Enos, that's when first Bnei Yisrael started to be Ovid Avodah Zarah, not Bnei Yisrael, the world started to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. Hey, Chelo Adayot Lishtabesh Be'emunah, there were certain ideas and emunah and belief, wrong ideas which came about in the world. What were the wrong ideas? Mehem Kofrim Be'ikav Romim Ki Olam Kadmon. There were those who denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said that the world always existed. It wasn't created. They said God doesn't exist. There's no such thing as God. That was one opinion that began to come about. Obviously unacceptable. Then they'll say, no, God exists, but he's up in the Shamayim. We're down in the world. Right? Sky doesn't exist, he doesn't know what's going on. He has no idea what's going on in the world. Maybe he created the world, but he has no idea what's happening now. That's the second opinion. Umehem sheyodu biyidiyah umakrishim bahashgacha yasu adam kidagei hayam shalei yashgiach hakel bahem ve'eini mahem onesh oschag yom azav Hashem et ha'aretz. And then the third opinion was, God knows what's going on in the world, but he doesn't intervene in this world. Ki hu zeh. he has zero involvement. He sees what's going on, but it's like you're watching something on the screen and you're telling the guy, watch out for the guy behind the door. No, you can't. There's no communication. You can just watch and you don't do anything. That's the third opinion. God doesn't exist. He exists. He has no clue what's going on. He knows what's going on and he doesn't intervene at all. Says the Ramban, "Kasher yitze ha'elokim be'ida u'b'yachid v'yase imahem mofei tishuni menagos shel olam v'tzevaot." But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu favors a certain community or a certain individually and changes nature on that person's behalf, yitbarer lakol bitol adeot ha'elu kulam, we see that all three opinions here are totally false. Ki ha'mofei ta'nifla more sheyesh lo'olam eloka mechasho v'yodea u'mashgiach v'yachol. The fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu performs a miracle on behalf of a community, on behalf of an individual, tells us that A, he exists, B, he knows what's going on in the world, and C, he intervenes. That's the importance of Nisa. And that's the Ramban in Shemot. Similarly, the Ramban in Iyov has a similar statement, Amar HaMechaber, Dover Borer Viadua Ki Emuna Biyidat, source number 3, Biyidiyat HaKel Yidbarach, Minei Hashvonu Viyishiyem Vashkachato Bichlalam Vipratam, Pinot Gedolot Mitoret Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom. Says the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going on amongst the lowest creatures in this world, and he's Mashgiach, is our fundamentals of Torah at Moshe. Ki Yaakov Rashi Yomar, Ki Eina Borei Yodei, Yishei Hashvalim Vashkachatam. Somebody says HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know what's going on. Kofer BaTorah Bichlala. He denies Torah. And somebody who's Kofer BaAshkach, he says God knows, but he's not Mashkiach, is also Kofer BaTorah. We believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows and Mashkiach and intervenes. Those are the basic parameters for tonight. Those are the acceptable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, he knows what's going on, and he intervenes in the world. What, of course, is going to be the key question? To what extent? To what extent does HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide to use his Hashkacha in the world? When can he be Mashiach? Whenever he wants to. But normally, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose to run the world? In the beginning here, we're going to find a number of different opinions. So, are you ready? So far, I hope no one's crying. Okay. The Gemara Masechet Chulin in source number 4. Amar Rabbi Chanina. Ein adam nokeif etzbo milamata. What does that mean? No one bends his finger on this world. Unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares above that that's what he should be doing with his hand. Shenemar me Hashem mitzadei gavar konanu. The steps of a person are planned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Taking at face value, what does this Gemara seem to imply? That I don't have the Chira, but about all the events that happen in a person's life, everything is controlled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not denying here the Bechira Chafshe, the person can choose to do good and bad. But whether I pick up my right foot, I pick up my left foot, whether I sit down on this chair or on that chair, right? Whether I sneeze at this very moment or I don't sneeze, whether I start scratching myself or not, all this is predetermined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Gemara says. The Rambam in Nor Nevuchim, and I felt that an English translation was just as good as the Hebrew, because Nor Nevuchim was written in which language? So I was going to give you the original, but I could tell you anything, what it says. Okay. The Rambam is talking. For I, for one, believe that in this lowly world, I mean that which is beneath the sphere of the moon, divine providence watches only over the individuals belonging to the human species. And that in this species alone, all the circumstances of the individuals and the good and evil that befall them are consequent upon the desert. Such as it says, for all his ways are judgment. Ki kol derachav mishpat. But regarding all other animals, and all the more the plants and other things, my opinion is that of Aristotle. For I do not by any means believe that this particular leaf has fallen because of a providence watching over it. See a leaf fall off a tree. What could one say? Hashem decided that leaf should fall at this very moment in time. You could say that. The Rambam's personal opinion is, it's not so. The leaf fell because the leaf fell. It's the season of autumn. The wind blew. Nor, something else that I do not believe, nor that this spider has devoured this fly because God has now decreed and willed something concerning individuals. In other words, it's not that they say, because that fly, right? He said Averis last year, so he's going to die, and therefore this spider is going to devour him. Or, obviously, it's not Averis, it's because Mabel doesn't decide when the spider eats the fly. Nor that the spittle spat by Zayd, I try to look, I don't know what Zayd was, has moved till it came down in one particular place upon a gnat and killed it by divine decree and judgment. Nor that when this fish snatched this worm from the face of the water, this happened in virtue of a divine volition concerning individuals. For all this is, in my opinion, due to pure chance, just as Aristotle holds. The Rambam says there's Hashgacha Pratis. But Hashgacha Pratis applies only to human beings, and not to the animal kingdom, and most certainly not to plant kingdom. So does that mean that there's no hashkafa? So the Sefer HaChinuch, maybe we'll skip the Sefer HaChinuch for a moment. Come back to it. The Rambam in Mor Nebuchim in source number 7 writes as follows. This is continuing. Let's do Sefer HaChinuch first. Sefer HaChinuch. Ulefisha deyot rabot bahashkachat hakel al kol beruav yavol baharbe tzukim bamikra baharbe mitzvot laholot ala inyan. There are lots of psukim and mitzvot which lead us to understand Hashgachas Pratis, Hashgachat HaKel, as we can. It's an important corner foundation. There are those who think that there's Hashgachat Pratis on human beings and on the entire animal kingdom. ויש מהם כיתות יחשבו כי השכחת השם ברוך הוא על כל ענייני עולם בין בעלי חיים או כל שאר דברים, כלומר שלא יתנונה דבר אחד קטן בעולם הזה רק בחפצו ברוך הוא בגזירתו. They also say it applies to the leaf. The leaf doesn't fall if Hashem didn't will it. עד שיחשבו כי בנפול עולה אחד מן האילן הוא גזר עליו שיפול. The leaf falls at this very instant, at this very second, because I could have bought a decree. Not a second earlier, not a second later. Exactly who was decreed. There are those who believe this, says the Sefer HaChinuch. V'zedat rachok harbe min asecha. V'yesh kitot ra'ot yachshavu shalo yosem hashkachot hobar hu kla b'chol inyane olam ha'shval. Then the evil people think there's no hashkacha product. Bein anashim moshav balechai, vudat kofrim rav amah, those are the evil people. They say, there's no hashkach in the world on even human beings. Va'anachnu balei adat ha'amitit l'fima sheshamati nasim hashkachato baruchu al kol minei balei achayim bichlal, klomar shekol min min aminim anivroim ba'olam yitkayim lo'olam, lo yichle v'yovat kulo, כי בהשכחתו ימצא קיום לכל דבר, ובמין האדם נאמין כי השכחתו ברוכו על כל אחד ואחד בפרט. What is the Sefer HaChinuch? Is there השכח on the animal kingdom? But what?
What does he say? But what? On the species.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashiach on gnats, on spiders as a whole. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides enough food and enough sustenance that every species in the world will continue to exist. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides not for everybody. But what doesn't he get involved in? The life and times of this spider. That he doesn't become a fish. This spider will exist or not exist. This fish will get swallowed up by another fish or not. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't intervene. What does he leave it up to? Well, he created the world with laws of nature, and he leaves it up to the laws of nature to run the show. If he sees that something is endangering a certain species, from a natural point of view, unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to wipe out the species, or we'll see later, human beings decide to wipe out, maybe. But otherwise, he'll will intervene to make sure the species continues. But otherwise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not get involved in the species. Where does he get involved in each and every individual? Human beings, there's Hashkacha process. On the animal kingdom, it's called Hashkacha Klavos. Okay. How much of Hashkacha Pratis is there? So now comes along the Rambam and the Ramban and may say something that you know or you don't know. The Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim in source number 7. Says as follows. Providence is, as I have mentioned, consequent upon the intellect. Accordingly, divine providence does not watch in an equal manner over all individuals of the human species, but providence is graded as their human perfection is graded. In accordance with this speculation, it follows necessarily that as providence may be exalted, may he be exalted, that watches over the prophets is very great and proportionate to their degree in prophecy. And his providence that watches over excellent and righteous men is proportionate to their excellence and righteousness. What did the Rambam just say? Not favorites. But you're on the right track. Not, the Rambam's intellect is not so much how much brains I have. Right? The closer I am as a human being to HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacts. And how is, what's his reaction? If I involve, I make most of my life involved with Hashem, then Hashem gets involved in most of my life. I block Hashem out of most of my life, then what's Hashem's reaction? So I'll interfere less in your life. You want me more, I'm more involved. You want me less, I'm less involved. Moshe Rabbeinu is walking along and stubs his toe. It was decreed in Shamayim for some reason that Moshe Rabbeinu will stub his toe. Lerner walks along and stubs his toe. He's a klutz. It wasn't necessarily decreed in Shamayim that it, now, it could be that Lerner speaks Lashon Hara and 10 seconds later, you know, smashes his knee against something, and maybe it's not only that he's a klutz, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him, why are you speaking Lashon Hara? That's also possible. It doesn't mean that if you're not Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't intervene at all. But there's a scale. And the scale is simply quid pro quo. Mida connected mida. You want HaKadosh Baruch Hu more in your life and you act that way, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be more part of your life. The more that you are a Navi, the more that you're a tzaddik, the more that you're a ruchani person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets more involved. The less ruchani you are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be less involved. Not totally uninvolved, but somewhat less on a sliding scale. Lord. It's obvious.
Whatever happens is based on how you view it. So if you see God, then of course you see God more, but if you're not.
But it's not only whether I see God more or not. It could very well be that I stub my toe. I'm not such a person, actually. He's not such a spiritual person. He's not such a ruchani person. And he stubs his toe. See, he doesn't like to consider himself a klutz. So God decreed that I should stub my toe. He sees God in the stubbing his toe. But the truth, maybe, says the Rambam, God had nothing to do with it. You're a klutz. And you weren't watching where you were walking, and therefore you banged into the wall, you banged into the thing, you stubbed your toe. Next time, watch where you're walking, it won't happen. Wasn't decreed by God. Right, human perfection. You have to understand the Rambam. When the Rambam talks about human perfection, he's talking about in Yana Magruchni, the more that he connects intellectually to God. But if the physicist understands the ways of the world, that he's a kofer like Albert Einstein, so maybe he was, maybe he wasn't a kofer, I don't know. I should take that back. He wasn't Shomer Torah mitzvah, Albert Einstein. I don't know if he's a kofer. But, you know, he's not so connected to God.
But if he's connected to God, even if he doesn't use the means of
but you have to understand. You have to understand. I mean, I'm not a big expert in the Rambam, but you have to understand when the Rambam talks about certain things of the intellect, he's talking about ruchnius matters. He's not just talking about somebody who's very smart. Okay. The Ramban says something similar in source number 8, the next page. Ki ha'adam. If he recognizes Hashem, Hashem watches over him more. Those that don't speak, like the animal kingdom, because Baruch doesn't watch over them individually. Just like a tzaddik is always with Hashem. If you have somebody who's such a tzaddik, he's not a big tzaddik, he's not a bigger tzaddik, he's 100% tzaddik, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches over him and the laws of nature don't apply. The Gemara tells us about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, if I remember correctly. There was a certain animal that would come out of its hole and bite people and people would die. So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa went over to it. It was a big tzaddik, the Gemara tells us. And he put his foot by the hole, and the animal came out and bit Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, and the animal died. The Gemara says, "Oy lo la adam shepaga bo arod." Woe unto the person who the arod meets up with. "Oy lo la arod shepaga bo Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa." And woe unto the arod that meets up as Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was above the rules, the laws of nature. He was such a tzaddik. Laws of nature didn't apply. There was such hashgacha pratik. But that is the exception of the most exceptional kind of person. As we'll see Bezat Hashem a little bit later. And there's a sliding scale. The more that you're so davik b'Kadosh Baruch Hu, the less the laws of nature apply to you. And the more that you run your life as, no offense, but most of us do, that we're not so davik in b'Kadosh Baruch Hu like Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, well, the more b'Kadosh Baruch Hu lets the laws of nature, I don't wreak havoc on us, but to be led by that. Not totally, but somewhat. That's one approach. But there seems to be another approach. Well, there is another approach in Chazal. But argues on the animal kingdom, it may very well even argue on the human kingdom. Source number 10. Amar Rav Yehuda. Shalach, the name of a bird. Zeh ha-sholeh dagim min hayam. That's the bird that scoops up fish out of the ocean. What kind of bird is that? Pelican, maybe. Goes down, scoops it. Next bracket in source 10. Rabbi Yochanan ki avachati shalach, when he used to see a pelican. Amar mishpatecha tahom rabbah. How great are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's demons. What's with a pelican in the deep? Says Rashi, ומשפטך בתהום רבה שזימנת שלח לשפוט ולעשות נקמתך בדגת הים להמית המזומנים למות. What is the shalach doing? What does Rashi say he's doing? He's carrying out Hashem's judgment to kill which fish? Hamizumanin lamut. Time for it to die. And that's mishpatecha tom rabba. In other words, according to this day in Chazal, what does it seem? There's a shkacha process. Even on the animal kingdom. Even on the animal kingdom. Now the moment you say this hashkacha pratis, even on the animal kingdom, it is very hard to say what the Rambam and the Ramban say. Because the Rambam and the Ramban say that the level of hashkacha pratis depends on your closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But fish presumably don't necessarily get so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it would seem that if you held this opinion, it would mean that there's hashkacha pratis on human beings may be irrelevant to the degree of how close they're not. But on the animal kingdom, there's hashkacha pratis. But certainly on the human kingdom, there's hashkacha pratis in detail. And the Sefer Chinuch later on in source 15 seems to imply that way. But there's another source that may or may not support this idea, and that's source number 11. It's a Medrash Rabbah. It says more or less as follows. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Rabbi Elazar Brei, have a Tamirin ben Mamrat, has the Aramaic. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and Rabbi Elazar, his son, have a Tamirin ben Maras, a Yud Gimel Shana, Yomi de Shmata. They were in a cave for how long? 13 years. During the times of Shmata, they were Xeros from the Romans. They hid out in the cave. While you Ochlin Charuvin Shogroda, they ate only Charuvin. What is Charuv? Carib. When we were kids on Tu B'Shvat, for some reason, I don't know, we used to get Boxer. They hit people with it. It's hard as rock. I never understood why. I don't know if people eat that stuff. It's just like hit people. Anyway, Shogoda Chela Gufan Chalude, they had all sorts of sores on their body. The self shalosh say Shinin Nafak. After 13 years he went out of the cave, Yotav Altara Marathi stood he sat by the entrance to the cave, Khamachat Sayyid Khan with Sayyid Siparin. And he saw somebody hunting birds. I guess he was shooting arrows into the air, hunting birds. And he sees them from a distance. Rabbi Shimon Barat Kala. Rabbi Shimon, no one else seems to hear it. Rabbi Shimon used to hear a bat call. Amram in Shemaya Dimus, Dimus Pascha. He said, when he heard from Shemayim a bat call that came out and said, he's going free, the bird would escape. And then he heard a basko that would say, this keeper is going to get caught. Then it would get caught and trapped and get killed. So before a bird would either get caught or go free, you see a basko. So the story ends off, Amar Tzipori mi balade shemayim lo mitzuda lachat kama v'kama nefesh banash. He says, if no bird gets caught, is that a kodesh bachu deciding what happens, the Sultan B'nai Adam, and therefore he came out of the cave. He said, if God's will, I'll get caught, I'll get caught. If it's God's will, I won't get caught, I won't get caught. At first, Hashem decides for it. This source also seems to imply that there's hashkacha pratis on the animal kingdom. Some are saying maybe not so, maybe because here it could be hashkacha pratis on the hunter. You know, because what was deciding whether the hunter will be successful or not. Not so much whether the bird is destined to die. But nevertheless, the simplest understanding is that there's a shakha pratis on the animal. And there are those who pass in this way. The Pritzadik in source number 12 writes, Kol davar ba ba'ashkocha me'ashem yidbarach va'af bebeima u'balechayim eino b'mikre chas v'sholom. U'kamo shekasa ba'yushami b'Rav Shimon ba'yochai. Says, v'kol shekein ba'adam, there's ashkocha putas on every single living creature. Now, I don't know if they would apply this to the leaf falling. Maybe not. But certainly, you have a pet? Did you have a pet? A cat, a dog, a hamster, a something. What? You have a pet fish in Dira 3. So the pet fish in Dira 3, according to the Pritzadik, has a Shkacha Pratis. There's a Shkacha Pratis on the pet fish in Dira 3. Okay. And on all, what?
His name is Maxim.
The Maxim, okay. Ashkacha Pratis. So whatever happens to the pet, according to the Tzadik. Not the Bresh Kibbol, but according to the Rambam and the Ramban, no offense, and I better not speak so loud because the fish might be upset if it hears it. No Ashkacha Pratis on Maxim. You can quote me on that. Maxim has no Ashkacha Pratis, at least according to the Rambam and the Ramban. Yeah. You could try to interpret the Gemara and the Medrash differently. Just and the simplest understanding of the way Rashi understands the Gemara in Chulin, and the way the Medrash says, the simplest understanding, I'm not saying it's the only possible way, but the simplest understanding is there seems to be Ashkacha Pratis on the animal kingdom. Correct. No, I said that in the second case, it's more, slightly more, it's easier to say that because there was a hunter involved. Maybe it depends on his hunting. In the first case, it was the pelican and the fish. And the way Rashi understands it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come against the fish because the fish was destined to die. That's the way Rashi interprets the Gemara. So there is this other approach. So you have, again, you have those who say, there is Ashkacha Pratis only on the human, only on human beings, and Ashkacha Klolit on the animal kingdom. And within human beings, even that is a scale. One could move to a middle position and say, Ashkacha Pratis on human beings, Ashkacha Klolit on the animal kingdom. But with human beings, when there's Ashkacha Pratis, there's Mamash Ashkacha Pratis on every single detail, and that seems to be the Sefer HaChinuch's position. And then you can say there's Ashkacha Pratis even on the animal kingdom. Whether you say it on the plant kingdom, that I don't know. Maybe there are sources to this, I don't know. Yeah.
There's not Ashkacha Pratis on the animal kingdom.
No, he knows, but he says, I'm willing to leave it up. He doesn't intervene. He says, I'm leaving it up to the laws of nature. But it could very well be that if a certain species would be on the road to distinct to extinction, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that he doesn't want it to be extinct, he may then get involved. Yes, sir. Correct. But the laws of nature are not pratis. In other words, there's no Ashkacha Pratis on this, the fact that it fell. Not that at this point in time, because I'm talking really laws of gravity, so if I think I'm going to fall. And therefore, if I'm if something is teetering over and then gets loose, it's going to fall. It's not because there's Ashkacha Pratis. Yeah, in the back. Is that the only way? You're absolutely right. Sometimes there's Ashkacha Pratis on the animal kingdom where the Ashkacha Pratis, it's really Ashkacha Pratis on the human being, but the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashgiach on the human being is he works with his animals. In other words, the same way that if there's Ashkacha Pratis that my car broke down, It could also be that my horse broke its leg.
It doesn't have to be that it would be that.
But it's not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mashiach on the horse. He was Mashiach on me. And his Hashgacha Pratus plays out in my horse. But that wouldn't apply this opinion to the pelican and the fish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say this fish is going to have to be snatched up by that pelican. Okay. We'll go on to the second major issue that's involved. And that is, to a certain extent, the interrelationship between Hashgacha Pratus and Bechira Chasha. And I don't know if I'm going to say something that, I mean, I hope I say things that make sense. It's not necessarily going to solve all our philosophical problems. I'll explain in a moment. But the interrelationship between Hashgacha Pratis and Bechira Chavshis. And the question is as follows. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives person Bechira Chavshis, and the person decides that he's going to be a Ganav, or he is going to be a terrorist, let's raise the stakes. He's going to be a terrorist. And whether we understand why or not, part of Bechira Chavshis is that a person can not only choose what they want to do, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu at times will let him carry it out. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you can choose whatever you want to do, but if you choose bad, I won't let you carry it out, that's not much of a Bechira. He allows people to choose evil, and then he allows evil to carry out its plans at times. So there's a terrorist. And there's Bechira Chavshis, and he decides to blow himself up. How does that affect the Hashgacha Pratis on the victim? Were all the victims destined to die because of Hashgacha Pratis? Irrelevant of the terrorist? Or no? It's not an easy philosophical question. Somebody blows himself up and people die. So is it death? Everyone who dies was destined to die. It just so happens they died by the terrorist. And if the terrorist hadn't blown himself up, the people would have died anyway? Or not? These people weren't destined to die. HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted Bechira Chavshis. In which case, Bechira Chavshis trumps Hashgacha Pratis. It's not an easy question, and I don't think I have any easy answers. But there are two different approaches that we'll try to see. Take a look in source number 13. It's a Gemara Masechet Tanis. To question what exactly the background to the story is, Rashi writes that the daughter of the Roman Caesar was found dead. And the government, Kedarkam Bakodesh, blamed the Jews. They said the Jews were responsible and they were going to wipe out the Jewish community. So two Jews, Lulainus and Papus, came along and said, we did it. They hadn't done it. They were innocent as everybody else. But they said, if they don't admit to doing it, then they're going to wipe everybody out. Might as well just kill them. Now the story picks up. The Roman governor at the time is a guy named Turinus. So it says, Bikesh Turinus, Sarobis, Lulainus, Upapas, Ochit. They were two brothers, Belutki, in the city of Lutkia, which may have been Lut. Amalanim im me'amo shokhananim isho vazayatem yobo alokecha v'yatil etchem yod yikidev shintil etchananim isho vazayat. V'yad v'vuchadnetza. So he was taunting them and he said, if you guys are such righteous people, and just like Hanani Mishab Azayah was saved from the Kibshan Aish in the time of Nuchanetza, so your God should save you now. And if he doesn't save you now, it shows that you're horrible, you're not tzaddikim. Amrulo, they said to him as follows, Hanani Mishab Azayah tzaddikim gemurim hayu. V'ruuyim hayu la'asot lahem neis. They were great tzaddikim and they were deserving of being an neis. Nebuchadnezzar melech hagunayim. Nebuchadnezzar was a unique kind of king. V'roi la'asot beis ha'yado, and it was proper for an ace to happen in his, for him. V'oto rasha, but you, had y'all too. You're just a nothing. And there's no reason for an ace to happen on your hand. And listen to what they say. We are destined to die by a Kaddish Baruch. That's our destiny right now. And if you don't kill us, Kaddish Baruch has many ways to take our lives. If it won't be you, something else happens. There'll be a traffic accident. A brick will fall off a building and kill us. There are many bears and lions. There are many shlichim HaKadosh Baruch Hu can send. A rabid dog will bite us and we'll die with rabies, whatever it might be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us into your hands. Why? Because you're evil. Because if you kill us, then the Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to take revenge against you because you're an evil person. Apo pikein hargam, didn't matter, Tarainis killed them. Miyad amru lo zazu misham atshabo diupli niromi patzot mocha begizrit. Says immediately, right away after two Roman soldiers came along, he doesn't say exactly why, and they killed his two Rainis. But what are Lulainis and Papa saying? They're saying, we're destined to die. You kill us. You don't kill us. So I'm going to we'll send some lions and tigers and bears and they'll kill us. Something else. What does this Gemara seem to imply? When a Russia kills someone, what happens? That person was destined to die. So you'll ask me the simple question. If that person was destined to die, so then why? Why is the Russia such a Russia? I don't think it's destined to lie. Don't blame me. God wanted it. Says Rabbi Nasadigon in Amunah Zvedeya, source number 14. The Sholim im Haita Mesirat Adam Lahariga Echad Mimaise Habore Omi Shum Onesh Omi Sayo. If for some reason God destined that someone should be killed, Kasher Yargeu Russia Kamoi Zeva Lemitzat Anaviyim. So if Ezebel kills over the Nevi'im, that's a mean God. So God wants the Nevi'im to die. So why are you blaming Ezebel? Anu omrim ki amaves masa Hashem, v'haretzach maisa harasha. V'im kvar chivach achman mita, ilu lohiz en aratech hazeva hago, yamek misi b'acheret. It says basically like this. The person's destined to die, and there's a murderer. That the person died is Masay Hashem. That you became a murderer, that was your decision. So the person died, how was that called your boss's decision? You murdered him in cold blood, that's your decision, you're going to pay for it. Somebody steals something from somebody. Because your boss decided the person's going to lose that money. You decided to take it illegally, you're going to pay for it. According to this, there's no problem between Ashkacha Pratis and Bechira Chavshis. Whatever a person decides to do, even for evil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows him to carry it out, and he's evil and will be punished for it, but it only happens to someone who deserved more or less what was going to be. The approach can be seen elsewhere, also in the story in Sefer Shmuel, which we don't have time to go through right now. When David HaMelech is running away from Avshalom, so Shimi ben Gera curses him and throws rocks at him, etc. Avishai ben Tsruya wants to go and kill him. And David's reaction is, why do you want to kill him? If he curses me, it's because Hashem said, curse David. David needs to be cursed. David needs to be cursed. So, it was Menashemai. Of course, later on, at the end of his life, he tells Shlomo to make sure you take care of Shimi ben Gera, and later on he takes care of him. He needs to be punished for what he does. But nevertheless, David HaMelech's reaction is, if I'm getting cursed, I can't respond to that, I should be cursed. That's one approach. But there is a different approach. And if you take a look at source number 19, Yor HaChaim in the Mitziv have a different approach about this. Vayishma Reuven vayatzileim miyadam vayom alo makenu nefesh. Who was doing? Somebody asked me about this today. It's a pasuk. Reuven is the Bukhari. He's the other one. He's doing the pasuk. So Reuven said, what happened? The brother said, let's kill him. And Reuven said, let's not kill him. What should we do with him? Throw him into the bark. What was in the bark? Vabore came by Mayim. Chazal say, Mayim ain bo aval. Nechashim ba'akravim yesh bo. There are snakes and scorpions in the bar. Big deal, Reuven. So you won't kill him. So what's going to happen to Yosef? He's going to die because of the snakes and the scorpions. So I used to think, before I saw this, that the bar is very deep, and yeah, but why wasn't Reuven worried about the snakes and the scorpions? What? He didn't know that they were there. Listen to what the Archaim says. Vayatzilei Adam perish lefi sheha'adam ba'al b'chira v'ratzon v'yachol laharog mishalom itchayev misa masha'en ken chayot ra'ot lo yifku ba'adam im lo yitchayev misa b'lashamayim v'hu amro vayatzilei miyadam perish miyad ha'b'chira. Reuven knew that there were snakes and scorpions in there. That human beings can kill someone who's not chayav nisa, who's not destined to die. Bechira chafshis yochol laharov mishalom et chayav nisa. That's the way Kadosh Baruch Hu decided to run the world. But animals can't. If he leaves Yosef alive, what will the brothers do? If he leaves Yosef not alive, if he leaves Yosef in the hands of the brothers, what will the brothers do? They'll kill him. Then he doesn't read Yosef's Chaim Nisa. He's flowing to the pit. Aye, there's snakes and scorpions there. What does Reuven say? Yosef's not destined to die. What won't happen? He'll live. But he won't live if Shimon the Levi decides to kill him. Because the Bechira Chafshis of Shimon the Levi can override Ashgacha Pratis of Yosef. And the Mitziv says something similar. In the Hachei Dover, in source 20. Ulahas biyota yesh lahakti madiita bazoar. The parish goes, Reuven amal lahashlech as Yosef babar malay nechoshim v'akrovim v'lo yore sheyargu shaya batuach al zchuto. V'hu v'hosha haya yore min ha'achim haynu mishum de bechira sheba'adam hu lemala me'ashkocha el yonah. Bechira Chafshis is above Hashgacha Pratis. It means that if someone decides to do evil, even a tzaddik can fall in the hands of that evil person, even though the tzaddik didn't deserve to die. Kadosh Baruch Hu says if you allow Bechira Chafshis, it can override Hashgacha Pratis. The Sifrei Chaim, in a lengthy piece over here in source 21, talks about different things. And he says they're really different levels. A real, absolute, tremendous tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will override the Bechira Chafshis. So for instance, David HaMelech, when he's not David HaMelech yet, he goes to battle against Goliath. By laws of nature, what should have happened to David? He shouldn't have lasted 2.5 seconds. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to save David because David was such a tzaddik. And Goliath said, Rosh, here HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened. And despite the Bechira Chafshis of Goliath to kill David, David killed him with a little pebble. And one could thought, that's example. He gives presumably also when Avraham Avinu goes to war against the four Malachim. So the Chazal tell us that what did he fight him with? It was him and Eliezer, according to one opinion. What did he fight him with? He picked up rocks and sticks, and when he threw them, they turned into boulders and arrows. And they sat there. Why? The biggest tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened. But in the average person, even the average good person, even the average very good person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't necessarily intervene. He could, but he doesn't necessarily insist according to this. And therefore, at times, if you take the second approach, the Bechira Chavshis might ensnare in him in his evil way. Tzadikim who didn't deserve to die. But that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to run the world. He decided that here, I'm not intervening. I'm going to allow the Bechira Chavshis to take off. You have here, to summarize, without a psak, you have those, it is clear, this is HaPaskin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, and he knows what's going on in the world, and he intervenes. That's the psak. How much he intervenes? Does he have only Bechira Klalis on the animal kingdom? Or, excuse me, does he have Hashkacha Klalis on the animal kingdom? Or Hashkacha Pratis on the animal kingdom? Is this Hashkacha Pratis on the human kingdom? Is it equal for everybody down to the very last detail? Or is it on some sort of sliding scale of a person's tzidkus and closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What's the interplay between Hashkacha Pratis and the Bechira Chavshis? Is everything that happens when an evil person decides to do evil, is it part of Hashkacha Pratis? Everyone there deserved this. His time was up. Everyone who gets killed is a terrorist attack. His time was up. The terrorist was an evil person, and he'll pay for it. Ba'olam hazabi olam haba. But it was destined to be this way. Or maybe not. The person was innocent and wasn't destined to die. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world with Bechira Chavshis that can trump Hashkacha Pratis. All this is totally in differences of opinion, presumably differences of opinions in Chazal, in the Shonim, in the Achronim. In a certain sense, if you can go to sleep tonight a little bit more comfortably choosing one path, and your roommate happens to go to sleep comfortably choosing a different view, it's also all okay.